Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back, I'm Carl Mack, and this is Combat Chronicles. Not a episode today which is going to focus on anything in particular. I'm just going to have a little chat at the beginning, then I'm going to interview with a good friend of mine who's turning pro. You'll be able to watch his fight on Fight Pass in the coming week. We've got to be interested in chat about, you know, what goes into preparation to move from amateur to professional, cutting weight, that sort of stuff. We're going to have all those sort of chats and just sort of have a little look into the life of someone who's turning pro, you know, first fight, which is not something we've done on the podcast before. Not really one for interviews anyway, but this is a good mate of mine, so I think it'd be a really interesting chat to have. I actually reached out to him as well, so I hope you can see why I find this cat so interesting to talk to. But first and foremost, obviously, the discourse this week has been less about fights and more about what's the best way of putting this? Backstage shit, and it's the Dana White slapping debacle has dominated all the online chatter this week. So obviously not something I'm particularly interested in. If you want to know my thoughts on it, well, if you're wondering what my thoughts are on the whole incident, you don't really know me that well. I'm sure you can imagine what my thoughts are on it. I'm not really going to cover it. Why would I? I thought Gastelum and Imovov was this weekend, but it's not, it's next weekend. That card's less interesting now. Jeff Neal and Shavkat Rakhmonov isn't on it anyway. Will I cover next week's card? I think I said before, if something interesting happens, I'll cover it. Not majorly excited for that. Speaking of people slapping around women, Gervonta Davis fought Hector Garcia this past Saturday. It's the only one from this card I've seen. I've not caught up on anything else just yet. Garcia's a good fighter, coming out from 130, beat the dangerous Roger Gutierrez, and still looks bigger than Davis. I mean, Gervonta can surely make 130, doesn't really want to. I guess all the big money fights are at 135. Like with so many Gervonta Davis fights, I'm left just completely perplexed as to why people think he's one of the best fighters in the sport. Has flashes of just excellence. Such a dangerous banger, there are times where he looks completely ordinary, can't get out of the way. He's got a bit of Wilder about him, in the sense that he sort of needs to bang people out to win fights. I'm not really majorly convinced of him as someone who could just win rounds with dysfunctional boxing. Just seems to get involved in tear-ups and seems to require big moments to bail him out. I still think at this stage that someone like Lomachenko would go to town on him, barring the fact that he's getting old and, Davis can bang. There may be more that we can see from Gervonta Davis. I think of someone like Aaron Pryor, who was just a whirlwind ball of energy, looking bad in certain fights, and then when he needed to, could put it all together. It might well be that Davis is fighting to the level of his opposition. And as I said, a competitive fight with Garcia, that's to be expected. Garcia is a good operator. He was a quality amateur in his day as well. And Davis, clipped him. Was it end of the 8th or end of the 7th? Not sure. Clipped him, hurt him badly, and then he got pulled out. So, I mean, not going to really, again, give a huge amount of time to Gervonta Davis. He's been in the press last couple of weeks, and I'm not willing to really buy. I'm not one of these people who just completely dismisses the fact that false allegations can be made against men, but the response from Gervonta Davis is, I'm not sure if his partner or just the mother of his child, I think I saw a picture beforehand where she was badly beaten. The police report seemed to suggest that, I say badly beaten, she'd been punched by Davis. That's enough. That's all you need to know. Doesn't matter if he punched her 25 times or one time in the mouth. He punched a woman, a fighter, or as I just espoused the qualities of as a knockout artist. That was what was in the report beforehand. Not saying that could be wrong, not saying it's not false. I'm saying that from what I saw and what I read, it seemed to me pretty cut and dry. And then the statement comes out afterwards where the either partner or ex-partner of a multi-millionaire says that no, he didn't do anything wrong. And everyone says, see, Tank didn't do nothing. Everyone just wants to say he's a bad guy. Well, it's not like he ain't got previous. It's not like there isn't evidence to the contrary as well. People were very, very happy to dismiss these claims as quickly as the counter point came out, because they just don't care. Either they don't care, or they don't really give a shit if women get knocked about. They prefer people just to not hate on their favourite fighters, to which I say, grow up. And if that doesn't show my hand in terms of how I feel about the Dana White situation, then I don't know what does. But yeah, again, this kind of chatter doesn't really interest me. I doubt it really interests you guys as combat sports fans either. I mean, this kind of gutter press stuff, which keeps rearing its ugly head, is not what I want to be talking about. But I also know full well that, you know, to assume that every artist you like is going to be, you know, unicorns and rainbows is also complete and utter shit. But to be hit with a, you know, excuse the turn of phrase, but a punch in the mouth and then a slap round the face as a 1-2 punch in like consecutive weeks just stinks. Not what I wanted to get 2023 started like. So what did I want to get 2023 started off like? Well, I went for a nice walk yesterday through some caves and up a hill, and just tried to get out and went to see some filming locations from the legendary British action comedy Hot Fuzz. Just wanted to get out for the day as far as possible away from my house. Not that there's any issues at home, I love it here. But I just wanted to get out, go for a nice long drive, listen to some music with my significant other, go for some nice long walks and just forget about combat sports for the day. And pretty much did. So that was a really nice day. Podcast is obviously happening today. And what else is going to happen in 2023? Well, before we have my guest on, just going to say that this month, if you see a little bit less activity from me on the podcast front, it's because I'm working on the Guide to Pride 1. And writing for that is going very well, as I updated my patrons on the other day. We're, you know, thousands upon thousands of words and double digits on pages. So, yeah, I would say after another week to 10 days of writing, we're going to be there, pretty much thereabouts, and then maybe another week of production. So I do hope to have this out by the end of January. But, you know, if that doesn't come to pass, obviously I'm going to provide some extra Patreon content this month as well. So if you want to get in on that, head on over to the Patreon, www.patreon.com/combatchronicles. That's the end of that. And on to this.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Okay, so I'm here with Trayvon Kentrell-Coker, who's a great friend of mine, has been online for years. Trey, thanks so much for joining Combat Chronicles today.
Oh, man, it's an honor myself, man. I listen to the podcast regularly. It's nice to be on a high-quality show such as this.
Well, man, you know, we've been together since way before this podcast started, so I appreciate your support always, mate, and I was happy to get you on. Now, people might be thinking, why has Kyle got some guy on that I've never heard of before? And that's because people need to hear about you, bro. They need to hear about what a quality fighter you are, and the fact of the matter is they're going to be able to see this fight readily on Fight Pass, on UFC Fight Pass. That must feel pretty exciting.
Okay. It's not on actual UFC Fight Pass. It's on the UFC Fight Pass YouTube page, and I think their Facebook page. But I don't know why you'd be on Facebook. So it's on their YouTube page. You know how UFC has like the Fight Pass YouTube page. I think it's gonna be on that. So I guess a little downgrade, unfortunately.
That's not a downgrade. That actually works better because there will be people that listen to this podcast that aren't paying customers to Fight Pass, and now they have no excuse whatsoever to check this fight out. So the reason I wanted to get you on, mate, is A, to give a little bit of publicity for the fight, because I think it's going to be a fun one. Also because, even taking out my inherent bias to you as a mate, you just look really good as a fighter, and there's a lot of interesting traits about you as a stylist. And I just think it'd be really interesting for you to sort of talk to the guys about what it's like to transition from amateur to pro. Obviously, you're going to be fighting for what is essentially the same promotion that you fought for before, which is Fury, right? And are they based in Texas? Because you're Houston.
Yes, sir. Yeah, they're based in Texas, but they're expanding. They're doing pretty good, just from what I'm saying from the outside. Like, I've been watching Fury for like a decade now, just because it's a regional show. The growth of promotion has been kind of interesting to see just as I go. But yeah, they're based in Texas. Basically, if you're in the Houston area, you're probably going to be fighting for them. I'm like the only one, really. And they're the biggest by far. No joke, Fury is the... If you guys were on the regional scene, LFA or LFC at the time was the like Houston promotion. And now LFA, or when it was LSC, it's kind of just now like its own thing. And Fury kind of has taken that place. It's taken that place from what it was beforehand, LFA and LFC, before they merged.
That's a great comparison, because obviously people will know that organization. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I obviously want to say is the matchmaking on paper is fantastic. Obviously, I've watched your fights before. I've checked out your opponent, is a gentleman called Bruce Whitehead. I've checked out is some of his footage as well. So you're both 3-1 as amateurs. He's been stopped. You were robbed, and I'm sure you'll be humble and say it's your own fault that you didn't win that fight with the Jonathan Galvin. But I've watched that fight. Other analysts we know have watched that fight. And I'm sure if listeners of this podcast check out that fight, they will agree that it was an egregious robbery. It was a terrible decision. So you should be 4-0. But why don't you just tell the guys, you know, a little bit about your journey to this point, because it was quite tough during the pandemic. You weren't as active as you wanted to be, as I'm sure a lot of fighters weren't. So why don't you tell people a little bit about your journey? Did you become a mixed martial artist because you were a fan of the sport? Or did you just maybe go for exercise? What's been your journey to this point?
Oh man, I need to simplify this a lot, because this podcast will be 7 years long. I detail everything how I want to, but not. I've been watching the combat sports. Like my man Kyle, you guys know Kyle's an OG in the game. I feel like I'm an OG in the damn game too, man. I've been watching since a little damn kid. My first UFC event that I watched was UFC 47. It was Chuck and Tito 1. I was like 6 at the time. The reason how I watched it is because my dad used to have, he used to finesse the cable. Like, he used to get like free pay-per-views and all that. And then so one day he was like, bro, freaking watching this freaking MMA stuff, this is insane. And he's talking to me about like Crow Cop and Wanderlei and all that. He's like, this guy in the checkered shorts kicking people in the damn head. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool, I guess. You know, I'm like a little kid, so I'm like, it is what it is. But I've been watching basically since then. I've been watching like super hardcore, you know, like, it was like 2008-09-ish, and then in like 2011-ish, I got like even more into it. So I watched it all the damn time. My dad's like, well, I guess you like it, so might as well just put you into, you know, a mixed martial arts, you know, gym. And then again, I'm simplifying it like crazy, but that was basically it. And then from then on, man, I've been training since 2012.
Wonderful. You could have just gone off on tangent upon tangent, because obviously, as you know, as a long time listener, tangents are my thing. But I mean, I think we've known each other since I'm gonna say before your first legit amateur fight,
maybe around that time,
we're talking 4 or 5 years. And I want to sort of say, and you know, again, you know, you're being nice to me, I'll be nice to you, but it's genuine, you know this. And what really struck me from watching your earlier amateur fights is just you're very reflexively gifted. You've got great timing. There's certain things that and poise that you just can't really teach people. You're very relaxed in there. For those that have not yet checked out your footage, I think by the end of this conversation they're going to, because I'm going to drop some links in the description too. But Trey, I would describe you, and tell me, you feel free to tell me if you think I'm wrong, but I would describe you as a natural but aggressive counter puncher or a counter striker. Would you say that's a fair assessment of your style?
You know, man, that's the funniest thing ever, because people all the time tell me, like, I'm gonna detail a few things here, I guess, from the early I'm assuming the question you're gonna ask, but like, I fight that way because people give ground. I feel like I can do everything, and I need to be able to do everything. That's for damn sure. But I feel like I can do everything. But I kind of would rather, I would say, like, chill at the edge of the pocket, and like, we just kind of, you know, work around that range. But people a lot of times get ground naturally, just in the fights. That's probably how they fight. So I kind of don't want to pressure how I do. I need to get, you know, I feel like I need to get better at it. But that is what I do during my fights, just off of response to the opponent. I kind of would rather, I feel more comfortable on the back foot than on the front foot, or I feel more comfortable like standing in place and just circling around in the middle than on the front foot. But that is, I do have to fight that way, because that's just the way how my opponents are going about their, you know, their actions. So I just pressure, you know, just as a response. But I feel like I'm pretty solid out there too as well. So yes. And another thing, I'm sorry, I'm a bad cop. Another thing is, like, in my fights, it's like 80-20 striking. So 80-20 striking to grappling. But I'm training grappling, like, all the damn time. It's like 60-40 grappling in my training compared to in the fights where I'm striking, like, almost exclusively. So it's just funny how that works.
Well, actually, the reason I didn't mean to cut you off there anyway, but it seemed like a natural transition to actually talk about this fight, because from what I've seen of this lad, Bruce Whitehead, he seems to be, he's obviously less refined than you are, but he's very aggressive. He seems to come charging out the gates. He seems to try and get up in his opponent's grill. He tries to cover long distances with kicks. He tries to get in on their hips. He tries to, you know, make it a slugfest, tries to get people down. You know, I think he's going to be very aggressive. So how do you actually see that playing into basically what we've just spoken about? I think it seems to tie in quite nicely.
Yeah, sorry, exactly. Like in this fight, I'm going to be content to meet him if he decides to be aggressive. I should be, you know, trying to clinch up with him as well. And then especially, I'm just comfortable on the back of circling around if I need to, pivoting off all those nice things, counter-grappling if I need to. But also, again, like, if he gives ground, that's fine with me as well, because I've had all my fights like that regardless, so I'm used to it, and I do, obviously, I train all the time in the gym. So, you know, the main thing is I'm trying to be well-rounded enough to be able to fight any space that I need to fight in and not be uncomfortable. So, yeah, like, again, I'm comfortable. I would say I'm pretty much comfortable everywhere. Regardless of where to fight, you know, or the type of striking matchup he gives me, I feel cool with it. But, yeah, if he's aggressive, that's kind of what I'm assuming. He's circling around in a, you know, a cool and safe way. So, yes.
Well, that's what I've got to ask you, really. You know, it's regional scene. He's fought on similar cards than that before. Have you actually seen him fight in person? Have you done extensive tape study? Is that something you do as a fighter? I think with the, you know, with the rise of YouTube and mobile phone cameras and that, it's never been easier for people to get tape on fighters, whereas, you know, maybe 15, 20 years ago, even with your extensive amateur record, you know, you've had like, you know, five fights or whatever, and he's had four or five fights, you probably won't be able to find any of it. So do you relish in the fact that you can watch these guys, or is adapting on the fly something you prefer to do?
I watch like a ton of film, but my opponent, I watch it good enough to know what they do. And then, you know, like, it only depends. Maybe I watch a lot if I need to, if I want to get super, super specific. With him, he hasn't fought in such a long time that, you know, I watch the film, I see what he does, and it's like, you know, years ago, you know, he's coming back after a long hiatus himself. Seen some of his jiu-jitsu matches, you know, that's a long time ago as well. You know, it just, I use this as just a placement in my head to understand what's going on. When it comes to watching film, like I watch like a disgusting amount of like MMA or combat sports stuff on the daily, just in general, just of like fighters. Like yesterday, man, I was watching Gordon Ryan and Andre Duval again. I watched freaking like Lomachenko and Roman Martinez. I watch analyst videos all the damn time. I listen to your damn podcast. Your podcast, the other analyst people's podcasts, I'm still in instructionals, jiu-jitsu instructionals all the time. Like, I'm just always consuming content, and like it's just a normal part of my day. So watching fights and watching fighters, especially guys who I'm competing with, is a normal process. But again, for this one specifically, it hasn't been as much as. I've watched other fighters more and other fighters less. It's kind of like in the middle. And again, I haven't watched it too much just because I watch it obviously, but not too much because he hasn't fought so long. And it's like, you know, maybe this will not be as relevant. And I can't, you know, I can't base my whole ideas around him of these fights he's had years ago. So yes.
Yeah, of course, you don't know if he's been in the gym honing his skills for the past 6 years or whether, you know, one thing I didn't mention, you know, on the podcast is, you know, he hasn't had an amateur belt since 2016. Obviously, yeah. we can assume that the pandemic would have, as much as it did for you, knocked him out for, you know, 18 months or so. But to not have fought for that amount of time, he could be a vastly different fighter. Of course, you know, my basic, you know, tape study to sort of and what I described him as a fighter, I think those things are sort of inherent, you know, the charging out the gate, the being quite aggressive, that's something you don't really tend to change. But of course, we don't know what technical ticks he has picked up in the last 6 years. The only other thing I want to sort of speak about, Trey, is the transition from amateur to pro in terms of, you know, I think you fought a 170 as an amateur, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Are you fighting at 170 for this fight?
Yeah, so yeah, both his fights at 170 as well.
Okay, so...
No, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, your preparation in terms of, you know, your weight cutting and whatnot, have you put on any mass for this fight? Do you think that actually, you know, if you continue to fight as a professional, 155s in your future? Yeah, I'd just love to know sort of what's going through your head in the terms of... Because, you know, let's talk turkey. You're not going to be getting paid much for this fight. This is the first professional fight on the regional scene against a fellow debutant. You know what I mean? Like, you're doing this for the love, essentially, yeah? I imagine you have to try to sell tickets yourself and that sort of thing, just to try and sort of break even. So the fact of the matter is, you know, effort-wise, yes, lots of work on technique, like you've just said, lots of tape study generally, not just of your opponent, but just to try and hone your skills further, pick up little details, things you like to incorporate in your game. But weight cutting is a bitch. Everyone knows it. So do you think, though, you know, as you know, the more and more serious you get, like I said, do you think that there's another weight division in you that you could cut to?
When it comes to like the preparation between amateur and pros and the difference, man, like especially in Texas, other states, like the amateur is like a big difference between the pros. In Texas, and especially like, you know, in Fury and Houston, it's almost effectively no difference. Like some of the amateurs are really good. Some of them are like more than pro level. Some of them are not that good. The fights, if you're looking at them, you can't even tell the difference if nobody tells you, or if you don't recognize that the round is shorter. That's basically about it. Like the round is shorter, no elbows, no reinforcement.
Because they're three minute rounds rather than five, right?
Yeah. And then no elbows, no knee, no reinforced knees to the head, and no like twisting leg locks, like no hooks or anything like that.
Yeah.
But other than that, man, it's effectively like the same damn thing. Like if you're watching, you couldn't really tell. Then when it comes to weight class and weight cutting, yes, this fight's also at 170. Getting a little bit of math. I'm going to stay at 170 because I'm trying to get big. I've weight cut before. Again, like, amateurs, they weight cut, like, massive amounts of weight here in the scene. It's very normal. like the whole process, it isn't... Like, people ask me, like, these type of questions, like, oh, man, you know, like, probably, like, in my area, the amateurs, like, it's a whole different vibe than the pros. But I've never felt that, at least over here. Like, it's just, like... It's just another fight. Like, the fights are just fights. Like, amateur, pro, the transition isn't that... It isn't looked as anything that's, like, monumental. You're just like, okay, you're an amateur fighter, and then, okay, you're gonna be a pro soon, so... You just do all the stuff the pros do, basically. When it comes to weight cutting, I haven't really cut too much... I haven't had to cut too much weight for any of my fights. And for this one, too, I'm not gonna have to cut too much weight myself. So I'll just use it as a privilege for now until I get bulkier. I'd rather be big myself anyway. So I think I have a good frame for the division to fill out into. So I'll be at 170. I've never felt like out physical by anybody, basically. Like my last fight, people kept on telling me like, man, the guy was so much bigger than you. He looked so enormous. And in there, I didn't really feel it. Looking from the outside, I can see, like, rewatching the fight, I'm like, oh, okay, I guess what y'all are saying. But in there, it didn't even register to me. So, basically, yeah, like, 170 should be where I'm at. Like, to me, if I'm not fighting at 170, I'm doing myself a disservice physically. I'm not doing what I should be doing.
So a chunkier 170 rather than a weight cutting down. I like that. I like the idea of filling out into the weight class. You know, for gentlemen your size, you're more likely to sort of hit your physical prime sort of, you know, 26, 27, 28 anyway. You know, I like the lighter guys who tend to sort of be prime early. Although, as I say to everyone, it's always a case-by-case basis. But, you know, you're still young in your career, very clearly, and you're still a young fella as well, unlike myself, an old bastard. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the division that, you know, that we just mentioned, because I think in terms of this podcast, obviously I know you as a mate because, you know, of our mutual love of combat sports. I think we'd be really interested to sort of ask you, if I just run down the sort of the top five at 170, just to get some general opinions on from you, if you're willing to do that, sort of let me know. It'll give people an insight into what you're like as a fighter if we talk about other fighters that you like. So I don't do this whole 1-5 shit. For me, the champion is number one, and the champion is Leon Edwards. And as you know, Trey, we've spoken many times about Leon Edwards over the years because I've got a very complicated relationship with Leon Edwards. I'm not a hater. I'm a potential Leon Edwards fanboy, and that's what it's always been tough for me. You know this, but I know you're a fan of Leon Edwards, so why don't you say, you know, the things that you like about Leon Edwards, and let's see if we can come to some sort of common ground on how we assess him as a fighter.
I've been a Leon fan for ages. I've been saying for years to my people, to my folks, my training partner, all of them, he's the true second best welter in the world. It's not Kobe. It's Leon. Leon is the one that's the second best in the world. Don't be fooled. But actually, he's the first best welter in the world, so it looks like I was even wrong about that. Look at that.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But no, man, like, I've liked Leon's game a lot. I completely understand your annoyance to his passiveness and his sometimes over-respect he gives to his opponents, or his ability to just coast on little margins that he's winning on. But, like, when he's doing stuff, like when he's fainting, playing his strikes off each other, it's awesome. He's an extremely great grappler as well, super well-rounded. Like, Leon's like, he's been cold as hell to me. His skill is ridiculous. His skills have always been there. It's really just about, like, him, like, enforcing his fight, like, 24-7. He did that against Bilal. He did that against lesser guys. And then he did that in the last round against Usman when he, like, had nothing to lose. So, yeah, Leon's my boy. Obviously, Kyle, I understand for the ages you've been on him, and it always made me sad. But I couldn't even disagree because Leon Fletcher had made me so mad. When he fought Nate, I was like so irritated. Even before he got rocked, I'm like, Leon, you're flexing on Nate, but that doesn't mean anything. You gotta put him down. You can put him down. We have the skills to do so. And then he got rocked, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is the worst thing I've seen in my life. I'm about to throw up. He somehow survived. He got lucky, and then the Usman fight. The first one, I was like, let's go. I said, I'm like, I know this man can cable this. He's so cold. And then the rest of the fight started happening. I'm like, why am I a fan, man? Why am I a fan of him? Why is he like this? Why do I watch this man's fights? And then the fifth round, it was funny. I was getting annoyed right before the finish because I was like, of course he's going to, you know, do the stuff he needs to do now. Of course he's going to play his strikes with each other. He's going to be more aggressive. He's going to mix up his feints, play things off each other. And he kicked him in the head. I was like, oh my goodness. I was like going nuts, man. Like, that's probably the craziest moment of last year for me, man. I was very spasming, like it was wild.
I have to cut you off there because I need to let the listeners in on something. There's a little secret that I've been holding about the Leon Edwards and Kamaru Usman rematch, and that is that, and it involves you. So I have to drop this story now. So I didn't stay up for the fight. I woke up at like, I don't know, 5 a.m. or some shit. And I go to the BT Sport app, which is how we watch it over here, and you can choose to watch the fight that you want to watch. So I thought, you know what? I'll just go straight to the main event. So I clicked on the main event, and I think it already started. It was maybe 5 o'clock, 5:30. It already started. We were some way into the fight. So, but when you click on the fight of your choice, it goes straight back to the beginning. So I watched the entrances. I watched everything. Like you, I watched that first round. I went, oh boy, Leon Edwards is going to do something here. And then I'm not going to talk too much about Kamaru because I think we'll touch on him in a second. But loved what he did for the rest of the fight. And as we go into the fifth round, I go, well, as the fifth round's playing out, I think myself, well, obviously I know this fight's going. So I can flick up social media now. I don't need to be worried. It's clear to me that Kamaru Usman is going to win a decision. And I flick up Twitter on my phone. I click on my messages or whatever because I've got notifications. And the first message notification is it's from you, but I think it's in a group chat. And it just says, "He did it, Kyle!" Exclamation mark. And I'm like, oh, I wonder what fight Trey's talking about because it's clearly not this. Oh shit! And the kick comes up and sparks this one out. And it's like. It's almost like it was spoiled for me inadvertently. It's my own fault for going on social media and not staying up live. But it happened. It was so sort of serendipitous how it happened sort of in conjunction with each other. That was like, oh my fucking God. I don't know how I would have reacted if I'd watched it live or if I'd never seen that message or anything. But kind of this feeling of dread kind of consumed me. And I was like,
what's he talking about? I haven't just spoiled this fight. Oh, my God, fuck. And it was crazy. And so, yeah, to everyone that, you know, thinks I'm some sort of, you know, thinks this podcast is correctly called Combat Chronicles, I don't stay up all the time. Sometimes I watch fights like an old man the next day. Sometimes I even watch fights where I already know the result. But with this one, it was like, this fight's over. I'll just go and see what everyone's saying about it. Oh, holy fuck. So, little interesting story which brings it all together, seeing as you're on the show. So, Kamaru Usman, like me, I imagine that you agree that we probably saw the best of him in rounds 2, 3, and 4 against Leon. But I'd love to know what your general thoughts are of Kamaru, because he's an interesting cat.
Oh, yeah, I like Kamaru a lot as well. Like, on a super random side note, like, luckily, since all the cards are on like normal time for us, us American people, Americans over here, that sounds disgusting. But besides that, like, other than the cards I can't watch live, like the Rising cards, and I was trying to watch the match live. I think I watched that one live, but I had to like do a lot of work to stay up for that one. And you know I'm a night owl, but like I'm like,
you are a night owl. That's interesting. That's interesting. Especially life of a fighter, you know, and someone who stays up, who really, I mean, you don't get up like super late. Like, you get up like normalish time, but you stay up till like 5 a.m, right? Most nights.
Yeah, and like, I take naps during the day if I need to. So, like, don't worry, I get my sleepy guys.
Yeah, I love a nap. I love a nap. The older you get, the more you enjoy naps. But yeah. So Kamaru Usman, he did not enjoy the nap that he took at the hands of Leon. So what do you think of him?
No, Kamaru, I like. I one of the people I like as well. Like, I actually felt kind of bad that he had to take that loss. Like, I'm like, oh man.
True.
He didn't really deserve that. Like, I've been on Kamaru for years myself. Like, since the OG, like, Bloody Elbow days when they were doing the scouting reports, that's what put me on a Kamaru way back in the years ago. Like, I think it was like freaking like TP Grant, like Patrick Wyman back in the day or something like that, doing those scouting reports.
I think the scouting reports back then were TP Grant, and I think Zane Simon was still on them. Maybe Pat Wyman.
Zane Simon, maybe Zane. Pat or Zane, or, yeah. Yeah, so I remember Kamaru Usman from those days. So I've been watching him for that long, for ages. I felt bad that he lost, man. He was looking so good. He didn't deserve that. He's probably the only welterweight that I would root against. Leon's the only welterweight. My bad. Leon's the only welterweight.
Okay. Leon's the only guy you would have wanted to actually beat him.
Yeah, and like I think Kamaru's a really good fighter. I love the way he plays his striking into his wrestling. He may have little holes here and there, but as a whole, he's always he has like a big picture thing to fill over his spot. He's always trying to improve. I've been saying Kamaru's cold as hell for the longest. I never thought he was boring. I mean, you know, Kamaru's just a top tier elite fighter, and he's been that for a while. And so I always like watching top tier elite fighters. And I'm just gonna that's why I watch his dance sport. I enjoy MMA through my training and through watching elite fighters and through the little niche communities that I engage with, such as yourself and other people like that. That's about it. I don't really get into other areas, if I have to say so.
I think what's interesting about Kamaru is, for a while, my criticism of him was that he could kind of do a couple of things really, really brilliantly, but wasn't able to blend them together. And unfortunately, in the fight where I think he did his absolute best showing of blending all of his all the facets of his skill set together, he got his head taken off. So it'd be interesting to see if he can fight well when his... if he can fight well again. But I mean, as you know, as a student of the fight game, 35, getting your head taken off like that doesn't always end well in terms of fighters bouncing back. So really intriguing third fight, which considering how unintriguing I found these guys at times, I'm really happy to say that that's one of those rematches where it just needs to happen. Speaking of fighters that aren't intriguing, Colby Covington, somehow ranked second, so third overall, and probably a fight neither of us have much interest in at all.
I respect Colby's game a lot. He's a good fighter. Great top writer. Puts together strikes in a way to get himself to grapple. There's, you know. Yeah.
He's awkward.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Like, he's an awkward guy. High pace, obviously. Respect the cardio. Love me some good cardio fighters. That's it.
That's it, yeah. I mean, I think people will assume that, you know, we're both just sort of coming at this from a Colby's fans are annoying and Colby's an annoying guy, but we don't really rate fighters like that. It's not really our thing. But I just find him completely uninteresting as an operator, really. And he's barely fighting. He's barely fighting anyone.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Put him in against Khamzat Chimaev and I'll be interested. I'll be interested to see that fight. Do you know what I mean? Like,
that's a good fight. Yes.
As it stands, couldn't care less. Next guy on our list, Khamzat Chimaev. So I'd love to know what you think about him, because he might not be at 170 much longer. He is, in my opinion, probably the freak of the division. He's just an athletic monster. We've seen him tested in certain phases, less so in others. Would love to know what you've made of his sort of run up the rankings.
No, I know you like him a lot, Kyle, too. I see, you know, I see a very good fighter in Khamzat. Again, it's relatively untested. I think, by the way, how the division is transferring, and you know, like the ages of the people at the top, I kind of think it just kind of might be like inevitable. He may be champion. I'm not even gonna say like in a disrespectful way, just, you know, through the natural transitional process of the division, he'll probably be champion. Whether will he be like an awesome great or like really, really solid, I don't know. I can't say that. You can never say that to me. It's really hard to actually describe that, to actually say, you know, that's going to be the case. Because I thought Petr Yan was going to be like a certified awesome great for sure. And he obviously is highly skilled, but now he's, you know, unfortunately a little down to him. Khamzat is very good. You know, he's not as good as some of his fans think, obviously. Like, he still needs time to develop. But he looks very promising at the very least. Obviously, like him, Shakbot, and like Jack de la Maddalena threesome is a very nice threesome to have.
I agree.
Yeah. And all those guys have things that they're very solid at, have a nice baseline, something that is respectable, and other areas where you don't really know too much. And that probably can be exposed, or they can, you know, show that they have answers for those situations. And even if they lose, which probably will happen to each of them three, they still have time to get better and still become, you know, high quality fighters. They're already high quality fighters, but even more higher quality fighters.
One other guy I'll add to the mix that I'd love to realize his potential and add to what was once, you know, we talk about the state of 170, a division that actually was so top heavy and didn't have any young blood coming through. Now we've got some young blood coming through, those three guys you've just mentioned, but Cedric Doumbé as well. I'd love to see actually fight some mixed martial artists, because as an operator, as a kickboxer, obviously fantastic, but tends to just keep fighting strikers and doesn't actually, and I'm not expecting everyone to jump up against a fucking, you know, even a Division 2 wrestler or something, you know, in your early MMA bouts, but he really is just fighting, you know, strikers that are way below him. So we're not seeing him as a mixed martial artist. We're essentially seeing Doumbé in kickboxing bouts with longer clinch sequences and 4-ounce gloves. Yeah. So, but he's an interesting fighter if we're talking about the complete state of 170. Brings us to a fighter, who I thought in the past was completely uninteresting to watch, but just put forth, in my opinion, a career best performance. Remember the name, Belal Muhammad.
There it is. I've always liked Belal. Like, he's always been a guy that always gets better, well-rounded, and you know, he can do a little bit of everything at a solid level. You can't catch him out anywhere just out, like, explicitly. I didn't know he was number 4 or 5. I forgot. But I've always liked him. And again, like, you're talking about 170. Unfortunately, I think, yeah, it does need some turnover right now. Belal is a guy that I respect, though, and he's been around for ages. So it's nice to see him at least in a spot to where he can potentially be getting a title shot soon. Unfortunately, there's not much to say. Obviously, I watch a lot of these guys a whole lot. So if I had to start to write a dissertation on him, I feel like I could do it. But in like a general broad sense like this, he's a really solid dude. I like him. I respect him a lot because he's always improving. He's actually trying. You can see it. Yeah, he's just like one of those dudes that's like, I can fight you wherever. I can strike with you if I need to strike with you. I can grapple with you if I need to grapple with you. I have the skills to do that. I can put a combination together if I need to. I can sit back on the outside if I need to. I can top control good. I can fight from the clinch. I can defend takedowns. He's just one of those dudes. And I like those dudes. Those dudes are important. Very important, in my opinion.
And obviously ubiquitous in the 170-pound division. You know, that's where you tend to get these wrestle boxer type, some of which are more engaging than others to watch. I think what's really cool, Trey, with getting you on this podcast is for people that are listening, you know, want to find a fighter to root for. You're just like one of us. You're just you're a guy that loves fighting, loves analysing fights, loves talking about fights. But unlike so many of us, fat slobs like myself who have no athletic ability whatsoever, you're getting in there and pulverising people. So I think it's really interesting that people can latch onto you as a personality. Check out your fight, which is coming up this week. The pro debut itself. So get on there early. Get on the bandwagon. Another one of the reasons I get you on here is not just because you're my mate, but I actually really think you've got potential as a fighter. I think you're really interesting to watch. Not everyone's got world championship, you know, potential. We all know that's true. But in terms of a fighter that we can follow throughout his career, it starts now. So people should get on board, watch it on Facebook, on the UFC Fight Pass YouTube, where the fight's available. You don't even have to pay for Fight Pass, but hopefully that little bit of extra name recognition will convince people to check your fight out, and the fact that obviously you're engaging as a personality as well. So thanks so much for coming on the podcast, mate, and thanks for being on, mate, obviously. But thanks for coming on the pod, chatting shit, you know, putting the world to rights, and hopefully, mate, soon we can have you back on and talk about how this fight went, how it was a flawless victory, and how the next one's going to go as well.
Oh, man, if I'm not back here, something went wrong. Like, I expect the highest of myself. I expect the highest of my quality. I see great things in my future. So if I'm not back here, the world has ended or something. Like, it's been too long since I spoke to Kyle like this as well, through like text from doing speech media, regardless. So it was an honor to be here. I had a great time. If Kyle reserved a spot on his podcast for me, the least I could do is give the best thing I can do, the best performance I could give for the fight, for the podcast itself, all that. I hope the viewers enjoy. Again, I don't know who I am, but I hope you guys enjoy the episode regardless.
But then, do you know what, actually, if nothing else, right, yeah, okay, Sam, like, would have gone terribly wrong if you're not back on this podcast, but if nothing else, like, you have, like, a ludicrously poor Twitter following. Basically, like, everyone that follows you is great, but 310 followers for a man of your caliber is pathetic. So everyone should follow you. I'll drop the link in the description. Now, you don't like random weirdos following you, but... the people that listen to this podcast are the kind of people that want to talk to you, Trey.
Like I said, well, you don't understand like that, man. You know, random weirdos, kind of. But like, I just don't. I mean, I'm on social media, obviously, at a reasonable amount. Like, but I just don't use it like that. I don't use Twitter like a normal person. Like, I'm not like, I just don't use social media like with Twitter like how most people do. I'm not trying to sound like one of those people like, oh man, I don't, you know, like I'm too cool for this. Like it's like I'm.
Oh no, you're already on there. You're more of a group chat guy than a you know, throwing opinions out there on the timeline guy. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, and I don't like reply to tweets or anything like that, and I barely tweet and I barely like stuff. Like, but yeah, like it's like that with my IG too, man. Like I barely post on my IG. I need to do that more. That's important. I just don't use.
Well, you can say all of that, Trey. I'm still going to get you the followers, mate. I don't care. Still
happening.
Hey, no, what I say goes sometimes. You might kick my ass, but, you know, I'm 5,000, 10,000 miles away from you. If I want to get you more followers, I'm going to do it, all right?
You got the clout, my man, and I do respect that, so thank you.
I've got the clout with the 300 people that listen to this podcast on a regular basis.
That's a lot of people. That's me.
It's not bad. We got you know... We're well up into the four digits for the awards podcast, so that's good. You know,
I love that episode. That episode was great.
Thanks, man. We're building the brand. You know, we've had a year.
I gotta say this. Like your production, I love the way how you just the little things like you do, like how you include the clips of like the fights or like the announcements or, you know, just like actual audio. That's cool, dude. Like, do that more. I know you do it all the damn time, but like, like. The war show was fun.
I'm keeping all this positive Combat Chronicles discourse in it. Do you know what I mean? I need the people that already listen to the podcast to hear two other people talk about how great it is. That, for me, that's quality podcasting. So this is all going to stay in there, man.
Exactly, man.
give everyone the last, the final sales pitch for the fight this coming week.
I mean, like, oh, damn, that's a hard question. I mean, I suck at marketing, man. I think I'm a good-ass fighter. I can improve. I will be improving. There's no such thing as a perfect fighter, but I'm trying to be perfect. So, basically, man, I think, like, I'm gonna look cold as hell out here. Just quite simply. Training well, training good, training all that, looking excellent. I feel like my last two fights have been disgusting. And I need to write those wrongs. And this is the fight for me to do that. The fighter I'm fighting, I respect him. I think he's a good fighter himself. So this is going to be perfect. It allows me to show myself against somebody who's quality. And I need to have something like that. I'm very confident. I feel very good. I'm very happy. Things are going great. So yes, I think you guys are going to look at something that's very, very, very intriguing to watch. We're talking about those top five at welterweight. Hopefully you guys can say, oh man, I was watching Trayvon before that. You know what I mean? He's one of the top guys. You know what I mean? Like, oh, the OG days when I was listening to Kyle, the Combat Chronicles podcast, I was on before everybody else. That's what I want y'all to say.
And that's what I want everyone else to say. That, as I said earlier, that's one of the reasons I got you on it. So we're talking, I'm going to say it like an American, January 15th, Fury Challenger Series 2 on the UFC Fight Pass Facebook, and we believe the UFC Fight Pass YouTube as well. But as I say, I'll be sharing clips online. I'll be getting Kaposa to fucking clip this fight, okay? So we will see it online, but I really hope everyone checks in and watches it live. As I say, January 15th. Trayvon Kenshaw-Coker versus Bruce Whitehead, which for me, I don't know where it sits on the bill, but for me, that's the main event. So thanks, Trey, for coming on. And yeah, I hope you get all the Combat Chronicles weirdos in your mentions soon.
Yes, sir, man. I hope so too, man, as well. Like, the people you talk to, man, they're interesting people. Because I know a lot of them myself, so.
Well, hopefully I get introduced to you, man. And yeah, good luck in the fight, and we'll be speaking to you soon, no doubt.
As you can tell, an incredibly wholesome yet dangerous individual. Thanks so much again to Trayvon Kenshaw-Coker for coming on the podcast. But, of course, I had to just talk about random fights too, so hopefully you enjoyed that. Check out that fight coming later this week. And obviously keep your eye on the feed, both this one and Patreon, for new content whenever that may come out. Until that does happen, won't be seeing you. Hopefully see you online. Hit me up on Twitter over at CombatCR. Have a great week. Hopefully, and speak to you soon. Peace out.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.